Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
It's the month of March, and this month, Streaming Things is brought to you by Chester Copperpot, Trey Barrera, Conrad, Luke and Sarah, Dave Malfara, Rabbit Dog in a Barbie Car, Jose Ruben Cruz Rodriguez, Thomas Alexander, Emmy, Joe Velez, Valerie, Stanton Valentino, Aaron Layton, Crystal Trujillo, John Collins, Ghost, Andrew Gray, Jen Robinson, Kate, Chloe Richardson, Kalisha Reeves, Kiki Newton, Kevin Strother, Jeanette Murphy, Casey McCain, and Enza.
Welcome back. My name is Chris.
My name is Madison.
And I'm Steve.
And this is Streaming Things, continuing our coverage of Yellow Jackets Season 1. This time, it's Episode 6, Saints.
Oh, when them Saints come marching in. Oh, when those Saints come marching in.
Buzz, 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 buzz.
I like the buzz, buzz, buzz.
Thank you. Thank
you. Nice addition.
If you're new here, we explore a number of different television and film properties from week to week. Right now, we're doing simultaneously The Last of Us and Yellow Jackets. Leading up to Yellow Jackets Season 2, of course, we've done Stranger Things. We've done House of the Dragon. We've done Rings of Power. We've done deep dives on Lord of the Rings, the movies, even things like Predator.
That was a good one.
Ah!
Get down. You've been pushing too many pencils.
Yeah. welcome all and sundry. You can email us at any time at streamingthingspod@gmail.com to join the conversation. We monitor that. We read every single one of them. Lately, we've answered about 7% of them directly. Many of them we save for like mailbag episodes. But just know that we do read them. You can also message me directly on Instagram at Movies Are Therapy.
There's also someone who has linked their dating profile to our email.
Yeah, and so thank that
so
person.
So we've been getting updates on your dating life, Belinda. So
yeah, there's a few interested men on there. I don't know if you can see that. We can see it. Yeah,
hopefully you're getting those updates on your phone, because girl, get it. These guys are coming in hot. Mm-hmm. All right. Hot and heavy.
Also, please don't do that.
Yeah. I keep unsubscribing from those emails, and somehow we keep getting them.
I'm glad your profile's getting hits.
Guys, I have to tell you something. It's actually me.
I knew it.
Belinda, aka Madison.
Yes.
By the way, Madison is on the Discord for patron members that have access to our Discord server under the username @FreckledPisces.
FreckledPisces14.
Okay.
Yeah.
Damn.
Hit me up.
Is she stealing Steve May 13's thunder? She one-upped you.
There are 13 other freckled Pisces out there.
There are.
For anyone that just wants to talk to Madison directly and you're a member of our Discord server, that's how you can do that. Also, Jimmy, our Last of Us co-host, is at Who the Fuck is Jimmy on the Discord server if you want to talk to him there. So just throwing that out there. they want to chat and didn't know they were lurking amongst us.
And how do you get on the Discord, Chris?
By becoming a patron at patreon.com/streamingthings at a certain tier or above. There's different rewards. At the very lowest tier, you have access to bonus episodes and stuff at the very least. And we do at least one of those a month. People, it's almost time to do a March poll, wouldn't you think?
It is time to do a March poll.
Oh, we'll do that. You actually probably have heard that on Monday through the magic of podcasting.
Mm-hmm. It's funny. The last episode you listened to this week is like the second episode we've recorded. So it's kind of weird.
Yeah. I'm all over the place, but we manage. Anyway, welcome to all of you. Thank you for returning listeners. We truly are so grateful you come back multiple times a week to support us. And thank you to all of our patrons. I mean, you are literally the reason we were able to do this. It takes us about, 14 hours a week without factoring in the stuff that we have to watch, that we enjoy watching. We probably watch anyway, to be fair, in order to do this show. So we wouldn't be able to do this without you. We fully, fully respect and love you for that. So
I'm at 25. I'm just throwing that out there.
Yeah. Even the person that's using our email for dating profiles. I'm glad you're here.
Yeah, I'm glad you're here, girl.
I wish you didn't do that, but I'm glad you're here.
Bone down.
Bear down.
What was it? To get dick down?
Getting dick down.
Yeah, not dick on.
No dick on.
Melinda, man, I'm hoping to get dicked on tonight.
Melinda, I hope you're getting dick down.
Steve said bone
just
down.
Just not with this email.
Bone down.
So close.
Damn.
Bone down.
You need to hop on. Zeus can like answer her messages for her buddy.
I should. I should pull a Misty and really try to cultivate a relationship for her. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm sitting here wearing fishnets.
Like, dude will be like, what are you wearing? I'll be like, what do you want me to wear?
That's a good response.
Is this OnlyFans?
It is a sandwich costume.
They call me Sammy. So Yellow Jackets episode 6, Saints. We'll start off with our overall thoughts and then go into a scene by scene recap, followed off by three little fun categories where we talk about our three favorite moments of the episode around the table. Also dive into some 90s themed Easter eggs and little tidbits that we have found, and cap it all off with our favorite performance of the episode. And that'll be the coverage of episode 6, Saints. Let's start off with our overall thoughts. Madison, let me throw you for a loop. Toss it to you, Freckled Pisces. What did you think of the episode overall?
I really enjoyed this episode. I think we dive into some very deep things. The girls are starting to go through some harder decisions, struggling with some more adult things that they probably weren't anticipating. But yeah, it's a good scene. It's a good episode. I really enjoy this episode. I feel like this episode and the episode previous feel similar in terms of pacing, in terms of information that we're getting for the rest of the series. But overall, I had a good time with this episode.
Steve.
So this show just keeps becoming more lost.
Yeah.
Like the show. Not lost like they don't know what they're doing. They're just becoming more and more lost. Like, there's some stuff with Lottie at the end. I'm like, pretty sure that happened in a Lost episode. This is kind of wild. But I do appreciate this episode. Hi, bud. Thank you. This episode kind of gave some interesting curveballs with some character relationships that I thought were like surprising and heartfelt and endearing. And I was like, I wasn't expecting to feel this way towards these certain characters, which was super interesting. And so the show just continues to be, I honestly have no idea where it's going. I have no idea where the show is going. And that's part of the fun about it, honestly, is just being surprised every episode. This one specifically gets real fucking weird. There are some real fucking
And you're
weird
here for
scenes.
It, as you said a couple
and,
days ago.
And I'm here for it. Like, there's one scene in particular that was so weird. I'm just like, this is all I want. This is all I want. Let it be weird, baby.
I feel like I can think of a couple of scenes that it could be, but I don't know.
I love how you both look like supervillains with your animals. I was
like, Steve has a dog. I'm going to get a dog.
Yeah, Matt, for podcast listeners, Madison's holding Ellie and I'm holding Pippin, the dog.
I'm panicking. I don't have an animal.
Put that down, sir.
I like this episode as well. I mean, I like all of them. Spoiler alert. But it is a lot like episode 5. Like, things that started to ramp up in episode 5 continued to ramp in this episode. And like, you know, Steve was really happy things were getting weird and now things are just a little slightly weirder. But also I think there's at least a scene in this that's one of the most like emotionally powerful, upsetting scenes in the whole show. And we'll talk about that very shortly, but yeah, I'm all in again on Yellow Jackets and it is everything for me not to just watch the remaining 4 episodes in one night, but I can't do that. It would ruin the show. Cause I'd go to do the recap and be like, I mean, I forget what this is, but I wrote it down. So I can't do that, but I'm excited to dive right in. So let's do that. The episode opens, with a fifth timeline. this time it's Lottie as a child, and she's riding in a car with her parents. She screams and her parents stop the car right as the light turns to green. She screams. So they turn around and look at her like, what the fuck, kid? And
as you do.
Yeah, that's the normal response. And as they do that, I think a semi truck hits someone else at the intersection that would have been them if had they gone like they were about to. And everybody's dead. It's not a fender bender. Nobody's going to exchange numbers and end up fucking like Adam and Shauna. Like there's just dead bodies. And then they kind of look back at her like, holy shit. So this is where we get confirmation. I mean, it seems to me her parents' names, by the way, were Malcolm and Amelia. And her dad doesn't believe it. And he sends her to a psychiatrist. Like there's nothing fucking supernatural going on here. She needs medicine.
And she can't tell the future.
That's why she's on the schizophrenia medication is because of her father. And it's very sad because it seems to be she's actually had a clairvoyant gift that her father didn't respect and her mother did. And that's why she's been medicated all her life. But right off the bat, I mean, I feel like it totally flips the script on everything we've experienced previously in the show where it's like led us to believe that she was on this medication because she has a mental illness of hallucinations where now we get this, I think, confirmation that she has an ability, a gift. She's magical, my friends.
She's got the sight.
She's in touch with the supernatural.
Yeah, some shit.
She's got the shitting.
The shitting?
You've got the shitting, boy.
Yeah. Trademark. That's why he said shitting. We're not allowed to say the other one. Not the shine. Yeah. Anywhoozle. Nothing else to say there. Let's move right on. In 1996, there's some frustrated foraging, I call it.
Oh, I like the alliteration.
Good. Mm-hmm. That's good.
Frustrated foraging. There's no berries. They're not sure why.
Where's the berries?
They just assume there should be berries. There's no like zoological reason or whatever the word, biological reason. What's the word I'm looking for? Is there an illogical for like foliage?
Paleo,
that's dinosaurs.
No, there's like a, I think
that's dino DNA.
Dinosaur DNA.
Anyway, there's no fucking berries there.
Yeah.
Like, you know that cereal, oops, all berries? This is the same thing,
like,
but
there's some contaminated thing that's happening, why there's no berries.
That's what it's suggesting. Yeah, like the environment itself is against them. And then we find out that Danny Mears dumped Mari so he could bang his cousin.
I mean, actually, they're second cousins. So, I mean, technically it's legal.
Wasn't illegal.
That's a pretty good clap back by Lottie, you're going to say, because
I agree.
Mari is kind of being a little jerk where she's like, oh, did your boyfriend, the ghost of the dead guy, tell you about the Barry situation?
Right.
And she's like, no, we just talked about how Danny Mears dumped you for his cousin. Like, ooh, Lottie, damn.
They call that shitted on her.
Shitted on.
Shitted on
her.
I feel like Mari is the punching bag of this show so far.
Yeah, it's like we're not going to characterize you or give you any depth whatsoever. You're just going to be like the run out of the house screaming, there's a bug on you. Used to date a cousin banger character.
Yeah.
And then we see Lottie envisions a deer with bloody antlers.
Rutting antlers.
Pardon?
Rutting.
Rutting?
Isn't that what it's called when the deer like... when their antlers are growing, they've got that like skin that grows over them. So they like got to scrape it off. So they scrape their antlers on deer. I think that's called rutting.
It could be.
I just thought it was like a sinister like visual of
blood on the antlers. It's definitely a sinister visual, but they do that every year.
But it's an actual thing that deers with antlers do. Okay.
Mm. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Well, when you say rutting, like I read a lot of high fantasy books and like that's a word for fucking.
So
like
I think
in medieval times, you know, like they were over there rutting. So it makes me uncomfortable when you say that. That's what I'm saying.
There is a rutting season. Stop where it. All behaviors and activities associated with breeding season can be broken down in pre-phases. There's the, you'll like this, the pre-rut.
You can get pregnant from that. No. You got to be careful. Yeah.
Got to worry about the pre-rut.
And that's what Coach Scott warns about later on.
Correct.
So I wasn't wrong. That is what rutting means. Okay. We learned so many things.
I know. We're learning a lot. This is becoming quite the education. A
couple days ago, it was like menstrual cycles and moons and whatnot. And now rutting.
Yes.
And pre-rut.
Oh, man. I'm not finding an actual term for what that's called, but apparently it's
like shedding.
It's a velvet.
Yeah.
It's like a velvety.
It's like socks for their head horns.
Yeah.
And they have to change them.
Yeah. But
head horns.
Yeah. They change them.
Antlers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Head horns. Yeah.
We're saying the same thing.
Bear down.
Bear down. Woof.
Deer down. So back in 2021, Shauna goes to the motel and she's there to meet Natalie and the gang, but she runs into Randy, who's like a neighborhood guy who used to go to her high school.
That's Jeff's friend from high school, right?
It's the person that Jackie tried to hook Shauna
That's with. Right. Mm-hmm. That's right. The baby. Randy, his wife Tammy has thrown him out, so he's at the motel and he's got a buzz yellow jacket tattoo because he's the epitome of peaked in high school.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Even then his peak wasn't high. No. You know, he's like a molehill and that was still the top.
Yeah, he was the hangers-on for the actual popular kids.
Yes. Yeah. And he's easily duped by Shauna. She's parking a mile away from the coffee shop to join her book club because parking is rough in the city. He's like, oh, I'm okay. I ain't no snitch.
I'm no narc.
And then so all the ladies meet to discuss the blackmail situation, except for Misty, who's never invited by design. And Natalie wants to call Jessica Roberts because that's who she thinks is doing the blackmailing, the reporter. And she wants to set her up. And Shauna disagrees with that plan. And Thaisa's horrified by that plan because she knows that she hired Jessica. And so it's definitely not her. And so she panics in that moment. Like, yeah, Shauna's right. Definitely don't do that. And so Shauna decides she wants to put a GPS tracker in, get the actual $50,000, pretend to be acquiescing to the demands of the blackmailer, and then they'll find out who it is that way. And they don't want Misty involved.
But we also find out that Shauna is the only one not being blackmailed, according to her. At least she tells them that.
Mm-hmm. Right. She hasn't received this like group text or whatever.
Or the postcard.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't. So there's a scene later on where it shows her with a postcard, but I didn't know if that was like a postcard she did get. Or did she just get it from this meeting and she's lying to everybody?
Oh, in the kitchen.
Yeah.
When she's in the kitchen.
Yeah.
I think she's lying.
She's a little liar.
She's a liar because, pants on fire.
Again,
she's smarter than all of them. She almost got to Brown.
Yeah, she almost got to Brown. And we learned in the last episode that Shauna's ice cold. And in these meetings with the three of them, you'd expect Ty to be the one in charge, right? But really, Shauna's kind of in charge of everyone. She's the one that's sitting down, kind of being the mafia
Don. The godfather.
Ooh. And sort of like directing everyone.
I've been watching a lot of The Sopranos, so I'm loving this analogy.
I mean, she is a mafia Don at this point.
She's about to make them an offer they can't refuse.
Right. She's going to be like, hey, we're going to go to this club. It's downtown. We're going to
miss the day of my daughter's wedding. My daughter's on Molly, though.
Bernie?
I've only got one voice. I was trying to be sneaky about it.
Bernie Sanders, I didn't know you were part of the mafia.
Yeah, Bernie can be both.
By the mafia, you mean the working man?
Oh, I'd like to call it a union.
They actually did run unions in the I learned it in The Sopranos. It doesn't matter. So that's
but
what no,
did. But Steve, you bring up a good... I didn't make that connection. I thought she was just looking at one of the ones that they gave her. One of, like the postcard in the kitchen in the later scene. Yeah,
I wasn't sure if that was the case or not, if she had taken that home with her and was kind of looking at, or if she really is lying to everybody. And she has it, but she's
I took it at face value that she didn't get the text, but that's probably not a good idea. So, but I did assume she got a postcard.
Was it episode 1 or 2? Did she, because she went into her safe or something? Did she pull out her journal or was she putting a postcard in? I can't quite remember.
She was putting the reporter's card in there.
That's right. That's what it was. Okay.
Well, she was taking out the journals. To read them. Mm-hmm. And I think when she was reading the journals, she looked at the journalist number, and that's when she called Thaisa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So whenever I come across stuff like this where I'm not too entirely sure and I want to look back, I'm afraid to Google things because I haven't seen the show.
Yeah, the show's been out for years. So when you Google
I don't want to spoil it because I'm afraid to
Google anything about this show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that's, it's kind of like, I kind of feel disadvantaged where I'm just like, what's that thing? I can't really look it up because I'm afraid they're going to be like, Shauna was the antler queen. Right at the beginning.
Yeah. You're correct in being fearful about doing that. It's a bad idea, my friend.
Yeah.
Because this is like Lost. Like there's a lot of online discourse and guessing and stuff. And it's a big deal. It's a big deal.
But yeah, they're not gonna invite Missy because she's Cronuts.
Nope. Yep. Conniving. What was the conniving mop head, something like that.
Poodle haired. Pooter haired. That's a very different thing.
yo, pooter bitch. So then we cut to Misty. Speaking of her leaving work, she stole a bunch of meds because she works at a nursing home.
A lot of meds.
They're not keeping those things under lock and key like they should be. No. They should be tracking those. It should not be that easy to just put them in your bubble coat and walk out.
But it also seems like, you know, Misty's able to fly under the radar. Nobody really gives a shit to talk to her or want to be near her.
Yeah, so. She makes it so painful to talk to her that confronting her is not worth it.
Right.
I think she's stealing. Go tell her. No, definitely not.
No.
But she is bringing Cronuts.
Yeah, she is.
Have you guys have Cronuts?
No.
They're delicious.
Stop saying Cronuts.
Cronuts. They're good.
You old pooter head.
Dig it.
Shauna forgot about brunch with the Taylors. And this is like the third time this has happened where she's so involved with what's her past coming back to haunt her that she's lost her bearings in her day to day life. So Jeff's like, hey, are you ready for brunch? And she's like, that's Tuesday. And she's like, it is Tuesday or whatever. Right.
And he's like, no, it's Wednesday. That's today. Do you think it's Monday?
Yeah, right. That's true. Yeah. So she's way off. Yeah. Right. And then, by the way, the Taylors is Jackie's parents' house. And every year on Jackie's birthday, they apparently eat dinner with her parents. And so she's like, no, Jackie was my best friend. So they cut to Shauna giving birth with Jackie and Misty, like young Shauna giving birth in the wilderness with Jackie and Misty present. OBGYN Misty. Mm-hmm. But when she gives birth, it's like a cooked chicken with an umbilical cord.
Some rotisserie chicken.
Yeah. And she breaks a leg off and just eats it.
The wings are flapping. Like,
you so know, adorable.
The arms.
Chicken babies. Make your dreams come true.
I immediately knew it was a dream / nightmare when they were wearing their soccer uniforms in the
That's
scene.
A good cue.
Yeah.
I'm slower. I didn't know until she ate the chicken. It's a baby. The baby.
Chicken babies will do the same for you.
Which maybe now's not the right time to speculate this, and you can take it out if so. But there's a lot of speculation on if the group eats Shauna's baby.
Like, oh, and that's why she's having. Oh,
yeah, and I think that's why there's this common theme of Shauna. Well, I think there's a couple of ways to interpret it. I think it's the fear of people, like it. Being looked at as food, but I also think it's Shauna having these cravings of like from pregnancy of like she's, you know, producing this cooked chicken, and we hear later on that the baby was also a hamburger in a previous dream. And so, yeah, I think there's a couple of ways to.
She's hungry for that baby.
Yeah. But there's been a lot of speculation.
Also with cuteness aggression. Sometimes you just want to.
Like, I don't
know,
eat it.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So that's part
Squeeze
of it too.
Those cheeks.
Steve, I'm not going to breeze past you singing chicken baby songs a third time. So I'm going to preempt
your
you.
Your world's looking kind of weird and you wish that you weren't there.
What is this?
Just close your eyes and make believe and you can be anywhere.
Literally what popped in my head.
Is the Muppet Babies theme, but with chicken babies.
Oh.
What popped in my head was from Austin Powers. Where it's, I want my baby back, baby back, baby back,
ribs.
Chilies.
Baby back, ribs.
So I thought that was another secret tunnel situation.
Oh, it is.
So I was
Who's watching Muppet Babies, the cartoon from the 80s and 90s? Who's watching Muppet Babies up in here?
I've only seen like half of Last Airbender, but I was driving home on the highway the other day and I called my wife. I forget why, but I went through a tunnel. And I was on the phone with her and I went, secret tunnel, just secret because of you.
Tunnel.
I don't. But she's a big Avatar fan and I had forgotten that. So immediately my wife goes, secret tunnel. Like she loved it. Like didn't even skip a beat. It was a whole thing. Stay away from my wife, Steve.
You guys
watch Legend of Korra together. Because you're about to be. Because you light me up.
Legend of Korra is dope. Just throwing that out there.
I own them both on the Blu-rays. Anywhoozle. Where we at? Buzz. That's what I'm gonna do.
It was a dream.
It was a dream all along. And we cut. It's a really good way to transition back into the 1996, where it's a nightmare of Shauna's. And Van and Thaisa, after that scene, are bathing together. And this is like in the middle of the night. It's like 3 a.m. And they're playing a game where they like draw on each other's backs and they have to guess what word is being spelled. Mm-hmm. Have either of you played this game? You're nodding like, oh, I love naked alphabet.
I have. My dad used to do it to make me fall asleep at night. When I was really little, he would like write like words on my back to help me fall asleep.
Now I feel really lonely. Nobody's ever drawn words on me.
Come here, buddy.
We got you.
Let me do it to you right now. Here we go. What's that? What am I drawing?
It's just a dick.
No.
Nice, Steve.
I wrote boob like Van did.
That's fair.
I was like, boob? Really?
I write what I know.
I write what I know.
Spoken like a true gay woman. Yep.
So this is like a really adorable scene. And then all of a sudden, like Thaisa's nails are horrendously dirty. Mm-hmm. Did you, with everything else,
like a lady.
Yeah. With everything else that's going on in the show, I didn't know what they were trying to say with that. Or if it was just that she's been working really hard on the homestead or there's something. Oh, I do know, actually. It's because she goes out at night and blacks out and digs.
It's a foreshadowing to the scenes we see later.
That's right. It just hit me like the baby, the baby. It all comes to me
it's
eventually.
It's never a good thing when a character is night digging.
Never.
No.
And Thaisa doesn't want to get caught. So this is what character, we talked about this a little bit a couple of days ago, but this characterizes them a lot with, it seems to me like Van is more out and unashamed and like, hey, they're going to find out eventually who gives a fuck. And Thaisa's like, yeah, but I just don't want the drama. When it's like, what are you talking about? We're literally probably going to die. So I think that's important to know about Thaisa, that she's closeted.
We all know Laura Lee's going to make it a whole deal.
That's true. That's very true.
Yeah.
But Thaisa wants to go and look for help. She says, look, I don't know where we're at, but I feel like if we just go south, eventually we're going to find civilization. And Van's like, I don't think that's a good idea. And Thaisa's like, we're definitely going to die here. And I don't want to do that.
I had some weird Laura Lee moments in this scene too, because they actually have nudity in this part. And I was like, oh my goodness, how old are these people? Ah,
you had a Laura, oh, like prudish moments.
Yeah.
You mean?
I had a little prudish moment there.
Yeah. It is kind of strange to pop up so cavalierly in episode 6. I feel like it's normally a good pilot thing to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. They knew they had some good material. They could wait to show nudity later on.
Yeah.
But to be fair, all of these actresses are above like 21, 22 years old.
Oh, I assume so.
Yes.
Since they got away with doing this on an actual TV show. It is kind of weird when you're just kind of like, wait, how old are these characters? Ah.
Yeah.
Yes. It does take you out. It's funny though. Never mind. It's not funny. But I'm just saying, like, there's so much like death and destruction. And then
I know.
And all of a sudden
boobs.
You're like,
oh,
yeah.
Boobs. Oh, no.
Oh, no, not those.
It's a very American thing.
It's like seeing a man's leg get chopped off and, you know, dead body skeleton.
Literally,
up in an attic,
woman on fire and crashing plane.
Boobs.
Television.
No. Not boobs. 10 miles away.
Not boobs.
Full nipple.
Listen, if it's one of the suggested tags on Pornhub, I don't want to see it on my Showtime shows.
Pornhub.com/flaming plane crash. You'd be surprised.
Pornhub/severed leg.
Anyway, once we stopped being offended, we kept on watching.
Offended's not the right word.
I wasn't offended.
I was just taken aback. Like, ooh, wasn't expecting that.
I know what you meant. And I appreciate you. I respect you calling it out.
Bringing it out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But the boner didn't concern you in the previous episode.
Oh, no, man. I was Misty in that scene. I took the quiz. I'm a total Misty.
The claw. Ooh.
There's the t-shirt right there.
There it is.
Just a Dutch angled dick with the claw coming down on it. But it's Misty. No.
These t-shirts are getting complicated. So we cut to Thaisa sneaking back to the attic and Shauna's up there waiting. I guess this is, I presume, after she had the nightmare. And then she starts talking about how she might want to have an abortion. You know, she has a friend who used the wire of her bra, blah, 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 blah. And I'm not yada-yadding through that. I'm yada-yadding because I don't remember the details of exactly what she was saying.
Essentially, so Shauna is explaining, you know, this is definitely something that I'm going to consider. And Thaisa, I think, is like, you know, it's not worth dying over, you know, Jackie knowing. Getting hurt. Yeah. Yeah. It's not, that's not worth dying over.
But it's a cool moment because she accidentally comes clean to Thaisa. You know, mm-hmm. she's like, I'm not, plus I don't want to die having my best friend, and then stops. Mm-hmm. And then Thaisa's like, wait, what? And she's like, I don't want to die having my best friend's boyfriend's baby.
Right. Well, at this point, like, we can, Jeff's? Because we see them, you know, they, it's Ty coming back up from the lake with Van, and Ty is like, oh, did you have another dream about, you know,
the cheeseburger baby?
Yeah. So it's now we've, okay, they've stayed up there a couple of times.
Yeah.
So it's interesting now that we've, that Thaisa hasn't been super prying as to who the father is in those other nights that they've spent together. So, but
she respects other people's privacy.
Yeah.
Also, she doesn't personally care for Wiener. So maybe she's not even thinking about it like that.
Sure. That's fair assumption.
Oh yeah. Wiener.
Wiener.
But also, yeah, I think she's just being respectful and she's very shocked that it's Jeff's, like, mm-hmm. ooh, to the T.
Yeah.
Girl.
But I think regardless, I mean, Thaisa is the sounding board for Shauna in that moment. And it's like, you know, you don't, even though, yes, that is the worst situation possible, it's like, you still don't have to die over that.
Right.
Yeah.
And she tells, and after this, Thaisa tells Shauna about her plan. Like, hey, don't worry. Maybe we won't even be here. I'm going to go hiking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To the south for the winter. But back in 2021 is brunch with the Taylors, and it's Jackie's mom and dad, Shauna and Jeff, and her mother is talking about how Jackie loved rabbits and they gave her like a little, I don't know, knickknack like of a rabbit. Yeah. Yeah. And even with kids and everything, Jackie, which is good foreshadowing.
That kind of makes the scene where Shauna decapitates a rabbit in her garden a little bit more.
Well, also,
yeah,
layers.
And also there's rabbits in this episode, too.
Well, I was going to say Shauna has tons of rabbit figurines in her kitchen. And so there's this, you know, do her parents constantly keep giving her?
They give her that every year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do they constantly give, you know, Shauna these rabbit figurines because they were Jackie's favorite animal? But then mm-hmm. in a later scene, that kind of debunks that. We could talk about that in a second.
I think it's indicative that her parents didn't know Jackie at all.
Right.
And they're like, she loved rabbits, but she definitely didn't. Mm-hmm. And Shauna just like, oh, Jesus, and puts them up. Interesting. Yeah. That's really
cool. But also part of me thinks she puts them out as a reminder of the guilt that she feels, maybe.
I
don't know. But
yeah, I think that's true. But Jackie's parents are, especially the mom, is being really offensive. Like,
all throughout. She's
just
atrocious.
Casually, just not even thinking. Like, you know what I love about you guys? You have no ambition. You're so content with your unremarkable life. God, it must have been so hard for you, Shauna, being best friends with just a precious gift of a human being.
Right.
Like, why do I hang out with you?
Yeah.
You guys are so chill. You never worry about like bathing because you stink, or like making money because you're poor, and it's got to be so easy to buy pants, Jeff, with your tiny dick.
Oh my God.
That's cool. You know?
Yeah. And how hard must it be that you have to come over here for dinner? Because Shauna, we know you can't cook.
Right.
And she says, Jackie always worried about you finding someone. You guys are much better together. You know, you can't be remarkable and raise a family. So it's good that you guys have focused on raising a family.
But then I love Shauna's like, I don't even like my daughter.
Yeah, she kind of loses it. And she's, you know, she's not dealing with this shit today. And I guess this is like Jackie's 41st birthday, I would surmise, would have been. And it says, I don't even like my daughter. And then the parents offer to pay for Callie's college. And Shauna says, absolutely not. And Jeff's like, oh, that would have been nice. Kind of look on his face.
Well, Shauna, I'm sure, is saying no to that, because if they start paying for Callie's tuition, then Callie's, the little deal that she threatened Callie with last episode kind of goes away.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, because now that $12,000 is now a lot more.
Well, Callie wouldn't necessarily, that's a good thought, but I think it's more of a pride thing for sure.
Yeah.
And like, because Callie wouldn't necessarily know that there's extra money now or anything like that.
I'm sure if that happened, Jeff would be like, all right, Callie, thank the Taylors.
The Taylors.
Yeah.
Maybe so. That's interesting. I didn't read that at all about that.
I think it could be both. I definitely think, you know, Shauna's going to these people out of guilt because of what happened to Jackie. I don't think she necessarily enjoys it.
No, but, for sure. They suck.
Yeah. So I think.
And they're having tuna quiche. It's not even for the food. Like, you ever eat tuna quiche, period?
I do like a tuna quiche. I've never had a tuna quiche.
With orange juice? I bet that flavor is all over the place.
That is a weird flavor profile to mix.
What is quiche?
Quiche?
It's like a baked egg.
With tuna, my guy?
Think of like an egg, like loaf. It's actually really good.
I like a quiche.
It's like an,
it's like a hardened scramby egg.
Yeah.
But like it's got like a jello consistency, not jiggly, but like you cut right through it, it kind of falls apart. It's kind of like a pie, egg pie.
Yeah, it's, yeah, it's definitely a pie. Okay. Yeah,
jello was a bad way to go. I veered back to cake or pie. Shit.
I got the picture.
Are you a quiche maker?
I have made a quiche
my ass.
One of my exes, for Valentine's Day, I baked a quiche. That was like the grand romantic gesture was I made dinner.
Did you get laid?
And I made the quiche.
After a quiche?
What?
This was a high school. This was a high school romance. But but the whole thing was like, hey, I gave you a quiche. That's why I didn't get laid, Chris. So that's to answer your question. It was a damn fine quiche.
That's though. So sweet. Aww.
Isn't it unfortunate?
What?
Because like all the people getting laid like forgot and like just rolled a blunt. You know what I mean? And you're like up all night with this key.
Put a lot of thought and energy into it.
And she's like, oh, too much.
Too much.
No, she
you're
liked
too
it.
Nice.
She liked it.
I want you to bake me a quiche. Quiche me, Steve. The Lord of quiches.
Next time you guys come over, I'll bake you a quiche.
Do I not need to come next time? Do you guys want to?
No.
You don't want a part of our quiches?
He's going to be wearing the sandwich outfit.
Oh, that's right.
And we're going to make quiches. So at that point, the tuna quiche comes in later. I was just shocked about the mixture of the words tuna and quiche. I didn't mean to jump the gun there, but that's what happens. But then we cut back to 1996. Jackie and Shauna are looking for food. They're still frustratedly foraging. She misses Jeff is what she says there. Like she said, I don't know if I miss the food or Jeff more. And so Jackie starts waxing poetically about all the things that she loves about Jeff. It's making Shauna very uncomfortable. And then she tells her that Jeff told her he loved her right before she left for the vacation or the Nationals trip. And Shauna's like, what? And that's what she said. I shouldn't have made him wait. Meaning they never did have sex. And again, that
she
wasn't a revelation to anybody but me.
Back. She didn't say I love you back.
She didn't. Right. And Shauna was like, oh, didn't you like not even care about him? Please God say yes. You know,
just how sad. I just feel so sad for Shauna in this moment. Cause also, you know, Jackie's listing food and I know Shauna's pregnant. So she's, you know, having these weird cravings and, you know, she can't say anything to Jackie cause you know, it'll give it away. So I don't know. It's just all around. Shauna is miserable.
I agree. I have a lot of sympathy for Shauna, even without all of the supernatural and like the stranded stuff. Mm-hmm. Like you got to put yourself in Shauna's shoes. It's wrong. It's face value. So wrong to bang your best friend's boyfriend. Right. But let's go through what's really going on. She's in love with Jeff. Her best friend is like this wealthy, beautiful.
Is she in love with Jeff?
I think so.
Shauna.
Yeah. She's banging him. And she's like, tell me you love me so I can come. Like, that's not like a kink.
Oh, I never got a. She loves him vibe from really? At least the young ones. Yeah. I've been getting the whole time I've been getting, she loves Jackie.
Oh, that's true. That's yeah.
I thought when she was like, tell me you love me, I'm not going to hold it against you. I just want to hear it. I thought that was more like her wanting to hear that from Jackie at the time. But
you just
I
love love.
I don't know if it's, I don't think she loves Jeff necessarily at that point in time. At least I think it's just more her just like, please, I hope you don't love him because I was just,
Exactly. That makes it worse. Right. But I'm just saying, even without that, I do think she has more feelings for Jeff than Jackie does. And she's jealous of her friend who gets all the attention and all the accolades. And she kind of like acquiesces to living in her shadow and has to listen to her, this same friend talk constantly about how Jeff's a douche. She's going to break it off soon. I don't even want to be with him, but I just don't want to be single, blah, blah, blah. Right. Mm-hmm. And so she feels like when she takes that action to have sex with him, that it's not this huge betrayal because they're about to split up anyway, kind of thing. And everything just happens to be against her in what seemed like a less of a transgression. Does it make sense what
yes.
I'm saying? Like,
yes.
I'm just saying putting myself in Shauna's shoes, I could see how a good person definitely would do all of that and just be like, fuck, you know?
Right.
Things kind of flipped on her.
Cause you know, if the crash didn't happen, they come back, you know, Jackie does break up with Jeff. you know, maybe Shauna and him could start dating later on or, you know, something like that. I don't know. You know,
it's still kind of frowned upon, you know, they call that homie hopping. I don't know what they call it, but homie hopping. It's not a real thing. You can't control your feelings. Right.
Sure.
And so I identify. Yeah, we're on the same page for sure.
Yeah. I know what you're saying.
Where to at the rabbits, George.
They're talking about love and Jeff. Jackie gives Shauna her last piece of food.
Mm-hmm.
She does. And that makes it almost worse. Like the kindness in that moment is like, stop.
Shauna's literally like one of the only people Jackie's consistently nice to.
Yeah.
In this whole thing. It's kind of interesting.
Cause Jackie's like kind of a piece of shit and that's why.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But in like a spoiled way, not in like an actual like bad person way.
Yeah. She's
a kid.
She has a lot of growing up to do.
Yes. Yeah. We cut to Natalie and Travis making out hot and heavy in the bloody, gory plane crash.
Trap.
Yeah.
Which I'm glad they called attention to because at first I was like, it's not like you're worried about somebody catching you here. Like you're in the woods anyway. They're making out in there. They walk back and stop holding hands right before they get to the people, but almost futilely because everyone hoots and whistles anyway, like, hey, lovebirds, which I kind of took me by surprise. And then Natalie.
It's beaver season.
What are you out there hunting? And then Van says, it's beaver season, which is if somebody actually thought of that in the moment, they would have gotten a high five from me because that's funny. And then Natalie flips them off and says, sit and spin, assholes. Which
I love that.
I know.
I will sit and spin. That's a good.
I haven't heard sit and spin in a while.
Yeah, it's been a few years.
Funny.
We used to say that to each other at the movie theater all the time, like sit on it and spin.
Just randomly? Yeah. Or was that when you had it out?
No, like, yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, like when you're just like being assholes and kind of giving each other shit at work.
Sure, so
that
sure.
would be the retort.
My version's funnier.
We're just fucking on the popcorn bags.
It's not as funny. I'm just picturing now.
What are you picturing?
We used to say that to each other at the movie theater all the time. You know, I'm sorry. Hold on. Let me collect myself. I'm a professional.
But
broadcaster.
So, but Jackie's kind of mad because she comes out. And she's like, is that why you guys aren't getting actually food?
I, the laziest one, am hungry.
Yeah, but Nat is too busy running for mayor of Pound Town.
Yeah.
Another solid singer.
It's decent. It's not as good as Beaver Season.
But then Missy kind of walks up to Nat and says, hey, I know how you feel. I have a secret boyfriend too.
God. So that is the last dagger in Natalie's heart. I feel like when Misty is like, hey, samesies, you know. Yeah. Oh, no, that's the last person, right?
I feel you, sister. Oh, damn it.
You do not want solidarity with Misty ever. So back in 2021, Thais is trying to make a large withdrawal because, again, their plan is to take the actual $50,000 and pretend to acquiesce to the blackmailer's demands, but put a GPS tracker in there. But she's unable to without her wife co-signing on it, that large of a withdrawal. And then Simone is angry about the campaign because they still haven't discussed why she flip-flopped on her decision to drop out of the campaign yet. And she says, I'm taking Sammy to a child psychologist. We're going to meet us there at 3:00. And they have a fight about that kind of stuff. And then Shauna had excused herself from brunch in the previous scene. She's upstairs, supposed to be in the bathroom, but she ends up wandering into Jackie's old bedroom. She goes through some of her stuff, finds an old diary. And then we get a flashback to the two of them kind of girling over Jeff, I think, before they were actually dating.
Mm-hmm.
And they're getting the plan of how they're going to ask him if she's into her.
You like him? What? And
did you guys ever come up with plans like this with your friends?
Yeah.
I was the wing woman mostly. I had a bunch of boyfriends in elementary school. So that was my time. And then I was like, you know what? I'll help my friends out in middle and high school.
Time. Yeah, I already cleaned up.
It's like the dating scene, been there, done that. So
over it.
I was kind of a late bloomer and then an all at once bloomer. But mostly I was a wingman as well for the most part. But yeah, we did, you know, we plot, we do this stuff. Like I'll help you out.
Yeah.
Why don't you go do a cartwheel? She'll be super impressed. Leapfrog over me.
Here, the hacky sack.
hacky sack with this. She's going to see us.
If we keep it up for six hacks, she's going to probably bang all of us.
Oh, ours were the, in high school, ours was the, what's yo-yo? It called? No, not a yo-yo, but it was a wooden stick with a ball on a string.
Ball in a cup?
I want to say a kadama. Is that right?
I don't know. I know what you're, I can think of the device that you're talking about.
And I'm nervous that what I just said might be something bad.
I hope not. What it's,
me too.
With like a sex move?
No, I don't know. Let me look it up.
Ball in a cup.
We can keep talking. But
ball in a cup.
Yeah.
Kendama. That's
kendama.
Kendama.
Yeah. I was on the tip of my tongue.
Yeah.
That was cleaning up back then?
That, yeah, if you could do that, you were hot shit.
Like, save some for the rest of us, fellas. That guy.
I think someone I graduated with went to a kadama tournament and, like, did really well. Like,
oh, placed. My tournament?
Yeah, placed.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. He was probably drowning in it.
Oh, so he many, got so much puss. It was insane.
So many flowers being deflowered.
I feel like that is worse.
It is.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. I always feel like I'm at my best when I'm hanging out with my kids, when I'm being of service to other people, when I'm talking about TV and film. That makes me feel centered and effective, but that's not always possible because I have to be empowered, prepared to take on everything life throws at me, but I get all out of whack and I need help recentering. I do certain things, 12-step groups, group therapy that help me do that, but other people, normies I call them, they have to seek out other forms of help. I think it's important that everybody do that. And it can be kind of a struggle, like to find the time to find a therapist. How do you even go about doing that? You have to deal with insurances and all kinds of, societal blocks to that. And it gives your little brain, my little brain, the excuse I need to not seek that help. And so BetterHelp makes it easier to navigate those blockades. Everything's online. You can just do all the research you want with clicks and screens. I don't have personal experience with BetterHelp, but Steve, you do.
I do. I have used BetterHelp for a couple months now, and it actually was a really, really great tool for me to utilize. I was struggling with codependency, and I didn't even know what codependency was until I started talking about it with my therapist. And through working with her, I was able to set up goals and achieve those goals with her guidance and help. And it was very, very beneficial to me. And I'm a much better off place than I was a couple months ago before I started using BetterHelp.
You are. And I can actually see the difference. And I'm glad that you're doing that. And if you're thinking of giving therapy a try, BetterHelp is a great option. It's convenient, it's flexible, affordable, and entirely online. You just fill out a brief questionnaire and you get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch at any time. If you're feeling like things aren't working out or it could be better, you can just do that for no additional charge whatsoever. So if you want to live a more empowered life, therapy can get you there. Visit betterhelp.com/streamingthings today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/streamingthings. So yeah, she also finds a photo of Jeff and Jack, young Jeff and young Jackie. And then she gets a vision of Jackie again, this time sitting on her own bed saying, it's not your fault. Shauna says, oh, I know. And she's like, wait, what do you know? It's definitely your fault.
Give me mixed signals here, little Jackie.
And then Jeff interrupts her hallucinations and says, hey, you're supposed to be in the bathroom. You left me alone down there. She gives him the photo and kind of starts to ask him, do you ever think about if things were different, whatever, right? And he's like, hey, we can leave. We don't have to be here. Mm-hmm. And she says, we have to stay for dessert. And I wrote, dessert for brunch? ? Because I don't think that's a thing.
Right.
You guys ever typically have dessert?
Well, you can't just brunch? Have a tuna quiche. Man.
No.
That's true. You got to wash that down.
You got to wash that down with a blondie, all right?
A bunch of whiskey, I would think. And so they cut back to the brunch to Jackie. They're doing a toast. I guess all that orange juice is actually mimosas. Mm-hmm. And again, the mom starts out again. Jackie was so gifted. So you gifted. Suck. And then Jeff defends Shauna in the best, weirdest way. Because he doesn't have to say, I was banging her while Jackie was alive and thought I was with her. But he does. Mm-hmm. And he's like, because I knew she was awesome.
She went to Brown. She's the smartest person here. Should you take a genius test? Yeah. He goes through this whole thing. It's like, truth is, Jackie was amazing, but so is my wife. I was an idiot then, but smart enough to see that. Also, this is the best tuna quiche I've ever had.
Yeah.
And I put in all caps, tuna quiche.
Do you think they're getting the invite for the 42nd birthday?
If they do, I hope they don't go.
Can I still get that money?
Right.
Yeah, right.
So we cut to the psychologist assessing Sammy. He says, or she says, that it might be psychogenic fugue or something, dissipated something. And Simone's angry with Thaisa because she had checked her phone. She got a message while the assessment was going on, and they're driving now. Thaisa is dismissive of the doctor the way she's always dismissive of apparently science just as much as supernatural stuff. Mm-hmm. And Simone's just very frustrated with the whole situation. And then she almost hits a cyclist, which is not cool. Mm-hmm. Even Sammy looks freaked out about it because Simone's whole argument is like, the doctor says this is all coming from stress. The stress is basically coming all from you. This is all your fault. And now you're not agreeing with that there's an issue at all, seemingly, right? So.
And then stresses the boy out more by almost hitting the cyclist.
That's what it was. Yeah. Very sad. It was bad timing.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
They're like, look, he's calm now, but all we got to, ah!
Yeah.
Almost killed someone.
That look on his face too. He was like, oh.
They needed young Lottie in that moment.
They did. He was just back there jamming.
I know. What the heck, man?
He doesn't have the sight.
Listening to the Wiggles or whatever.
He doesn't have the shitting.
He does not. He does not. So back in 1996, Travis comes into the cabin. He's grabbing a whole bunch of bullets. And then Coach Scott comes walking up.
Hey, when you fire your own bullets, make sure you have one of these.
So he tries to give him the talk, and he's like, look, girls like to talk. That's how he starts the convo, right? Just a little lighthearted misogyny to start things off. We know how bitches be tripping, Travis. Am I right? And puts his hand up for Nux. And Travis is like, what? He's like, look, I know none of my business, but, you know, the last thing we went out here is a baby, right? And I thank God none of us are pregnant. Yeah. Am I right, boys?
Am I right, Shauna?
And then he pulls like 37. And then he pulls out like 37 condoms. And he's like, yeah. Here, Travis.
We're only going to be at Nationals for a week.
We're going to be in Seattle for a week.
Like, don't worry about it.
Mind your business, buddy.
Yeah. Mind your business.
I get down.
Yeah.
I had him lined up.
Coach Ben is an attractive man. So
back to 2021. Natalie is cleaning her rifle, seemingly for fun. She hasn't fired it. I don't know. I don't own a gun. Maybe you just have to do that. Keep it lubed up.
You
I don't
do
know.
Have to clean it a lot.
Okay.
You don't want dust getting in there.
You don't want to, I assume. Mm-hmm. It'll stop the bullet.
Well, you got to keep it ready in case you got to shoot
it.
Yeah. She's got a blackmailer after her. She might need that.
Oh, that's true. It's kind of like indicative of she's ready to kill, right?
Yeah.
In case shit pops off. Mm-hmm. And Thaisa can't get the money. Natalie, you know, she tells Natalie that I'm having family troubles and there's no way I'm in a position to ask my wife to co-sign for a withdrawal of 50 grand. So Natalie says, I'll get it. And Natalie's like, where? She's like, don't worry about it. And then when she goes outside, Kevin shows up with snacks, by the way, which means he's a good guy because you don't show
snacks.
Up. I assume it's not a tuna quiche, but it's something. And she's like, I got shit to do.
He could have had that great line. I got you a quiche.
Yeah. I'm going to quiche you.
The Lord of quiches.
Yeah, baby. So she says, hey, I got stuff to do. And he's like, I can wait. I got time. And so he ends up, I bet he regrets saying that because in the next scene, she's selling her car. That takes like 2 to 4 hours.
Yeah.
So he just sat there and ate all the snacks alone. Mm-hmm. And now this is the first time I've been like, I don't like this. Like a tiny little writing flub. So she gets in the car. First, how was she going to get a ride if Kevin hadn't showed up? You know, I guess she was going to call an Uber or something. That's fine. But then when she finally gets back in the car, Kevin's like, well, no, I got something to do if you want to. And it just is kind of silly, right? Like,
yeah.
I get it. While he was waiting, his ex-wife called. And so Natalie just puts on her seatbelt. Do you think she was getting 50 grand for her used Porsche? Or like, no. That's part of the money that she's hustling up or something?
I think it's, I don't know. I don't know how to gauge car price, like how much you would get for that.
It is an expensive car, but that'd be a lot.
Would you get 50 grand for a used one? Just.
It would have to be a very
random,
probably not.
Gently used or rare one. And
I don't think you would.
I got the impression it was in that storage bin for quite some time. So maybe it's low mileage. That's what that means.
That's true. Yeah.
I don't know. We'll find out very soon. I'm sure.
It's vintage. I have no idea.
Yeah. Like it could be like, oh my God, you got an 82 fucking Q7.
Oh man. This
twin turbo.
Those had the hobnobs.
They did. Yeah. It's got a hobbit door as for a gas tank.
You know what? These hobnobs, the year that that model came out, they were made with chrome.
Yeah.
Usually now they just make them with syrup.
Syrup?
You heard what I said.
Witness me. For real?
They were trying to cut down costs.
Yeah, Maple.
Yeah.
It's a Canadian car.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then back in 1996, all the girls are asleep. Lottie wakes up. And I took note. I'm sure I've seen this before, but she's in her PJs. And it's like, you know, picture yourself, right, Steve?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Madison, close my eyes.
Envision this. You're stranded in the wilderness. This mm-hmm. is month 1.5. You've already been through a full moon cycle.
Absolutely.
Right. You're washing your clothes mm-hmm. every day in the river. No soap, just washing, kind of scrubbing a little bit, right?
Yeah. Sure.
Are you going to bother at night to switch into your silk PJs when it's time to lay on the wooden floor?
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
You need those small comforts, Chris. It's a wooden floor.
I'm going to say no. First off, I am in my 30s.
Yeah.
I have never, ever, not once in my whole life, worn like a whole button-up ass shirt and matching pants and laid in bed.
That sounds like a you problem.
I get gifted them for Christmas. I like wearing them as a joke.
It sounds like you just hate allowing yourself finer things in life.
I think.
Do you sleep in the PJs?
Yeah.
I mean, aside from the context of Lottie doing these weird ass things in these particular pajamas, like going in the lake and walking around in the woods.
Yeah, it's the same PJ she was in the lake with.
Yeah, I think.
Maybe she was just washing them.
There's this idea that, you know, if you want to like hold on to any sense of routine or like at home or like feel like you're still part of this like societal like flow, you probably want to. I don't know. Maybe Lottie is like,
yeah, it's kind of like
my PJs on
Javi
for
holding on to his gum that his dad gave
sure.
him. That was like the last piece of normalcy.
Sure.
Not me. I'm like day two grass loincloth.
But I think if it, I mean,
Chris, also, the rescuers are coming. You put your pants on.
It's just communicating.
They're also long sleeves, so I'm sure they're warm. I don't know how cold the cabin gets.
Yeah, you know, like it's
chilly. There's probably some elements as to why she's wearing these same PJs, but also she's a dumbass for going in these, from getting them dirty in these weird ass, you know, reasons.
Maybe she's a genius and that's how she washes them. I just wear them. That way they keep their form while they dry. You know what I'm saying?
She's the smartest one here.
I love Steve's lake.
She's a creature of comfort. I get it. I don't know what you all are talking about.
It was such a dumb thing to take note of. And I'm just, like I said, but it's like at this point in time, I was like, wait a second.
Did you take note of her framed up with the deer antlers?
Yes. So it's like the subtitle said eerie vocalizing. Cause in the back it's like, and then, the antlers framed Lottie's head. And then she finds Thaisa outside eating dirt, which is why her fingernails were dirty.
Yeah.
I assume she does that often.
Which
you come here often?
Do you think she was like what enticed her to get up and go look for Thaisa? You know what I mean? Because it wasn't
the shine.
It wasn't the what?
The shitting.
Just her clairvoyant senses.
Okay. So then we can assume that whatever is making Thaisa eat dirt is a supernatural element?
We don't know yet.
I wonder if because when they were doing the seance last episode, the spirit went into the attic and possessed Lottie for a second. But now, since Thaisa's sleeping up there, maybe the spirit like
the spirit can act like get into people through the attic. So maybe because she's up there, that spirit is possessing her.
And he's like, I just want to eat some dirt.
Oh, I love dirt.
Get your dirt on. Dirt.
Joe Dirt.
Joe Dirt.
I love Christina Aguilera's song that hasn't come out yet. Wanna get dirty. In case you weren't aware which one I was talking about.
Thank you.
I felt like Steve somewhere was thinking, Dini in a bottle. I don't get it.
You know me so well because it's 100% what was happening.
Really?
I was like, okay.
No, I'm talking 5 years later, my friend.
But yeah, Lottie was just had intuitive reason to go out and look for a Thaisa.
Smell the dirt.
Why do you think Thaisa's eating that dirt?
Iron.
Okay.
Deficiency.
Need some minerals. Yep.
Mm-hmm. I really don't know. There's a lot of things.
Well, she's doing it again later as an adult.
Right. Well, there's a lot, there's a lot of things to unpack with her. I don't really.
This is like where the show has fully gone off the rails for me a little bit in a good way. Like, yeah. I'm like, yes, eat the dirt. Because now she sees the wolf, she eats the dirt, and she sees the eyeless person. That's what I said last episode. She's got a trifecta of weirdness going on. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say she doesn't remember the eating of the dirt part.
Right.
Her young and adult self.
Yeah, she blacks out. She becomes a different person.
Right. So it's almost like, is that her response to this trauma? Is that her response? Like, it almost seems like there's a two-person personality here.
We don't know how long she's been doing this. We assume it started in the wilderness, and we know now that it's continued into the present day, mm-hmm. right? But what is interesting is, like, obviously she's the bad one. She's the lady in the tree for Sammy, right? And so she...
There's no dirt in trees.
She's the one that painted Spill, mm-hmm. not Sammy, right?
She broke Sammy's toy.
Yeah. Yeah. All kinds of shit. So interesting development. She's like a werewolf, kind of.
Oh,
and that's when she sees the wolf.
A werewolf.
Holy shit.
The baby.
Not as dumb.
The baby.
Oh, shit. Eating dirt. Where am I at? Thaisa's out eating dirt. 2021. Jeff and Shauna talk on the way home. They're in the car. And again, another great moment with Jeff after he defended her. He's like, hey, I think about it. And I love this honest talk. Like, yeah, I've considered... What if things were different? Sure, I'm a human being, but like I have no regrets. It didn't turn out the way that we wanted to. It's not perfect, you know. And Shauna jokes, you think, and they have a nice like laugh about it. And like you can kind of see for the first time why they were ever a couple in this moment, right? Like there is some love there, and they do get along well. And you know, Jeff's like, Jackie was going to break up with me anyway. You know, I was the fucking high school boyfriend at best. I was never going to be anything else. good talk with them. Good moment.
He says he loves her.
He does. I love you.
I was kind of like, how dare you make me like you? How dare you in this moment make me like you? But
I was way more comfortable thinking Jeff was a douche.
Is he still having that affair? You guys think that's what he's doing with the inventory?
I think it would be a cheap shot writing to subvert it because like it's telegraphed so well. Mm-hmm. But also I would respect it in a weird way. But I do still think he's cheating.
See, now I'm speculating something, but I can't tell if it's because I've seen the show or if it...
Right. That's why...
So I don't want to say anything as to what I think he's doing.
That's what's so funny, too, is like Madison and I are so burnt. We've actually seen the show and we're like, I don't know.
But again, it's been so long since I've seen it that it's like when we do come across these moments where it's like... Oh, I don't actually remember, but I have speculation, but I can't tell if that same speculation is from what I had last time or if that's because I know that's actually what it is.
It's been over a year and a half and I watched it in like 4 days,
yeah.
Which I'm sure you did too.
But I think I can only go off of what the show is interpreting. And I think right now the show wants us to believe that Jeff is cheating.
What are you thinking, Steve?
I think he's just making a bomb-ass inventory system that's going to revolutionize this world.
The furniture industry?
He's working so... And he met with a lady at the hotel because she's, like, in charge of big inventory. And he was giving her the presentation, like, let me show you the PowerPoint. This is what I do. I'm a furniture salesman.
She's designing new software.
Yeah, she's designing the user interface for when he takes this global and starts selling it to markets all over the place.
It is end of quarter taxes.
Yeah.
I think it is likely that there's going to be a twist that he was not cheating. I'm not even joking. I think that's likely because that would be like,
Shauna, you done did it again.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now you got to kill him.
You stepped your foot. Get the shovel. Call Jack. Call Ty. It's night digging time.
Call Misty.
Yeah.
Ooh, on my way.
Oh, I'll be right there.
And why is she Canadian now?
Oh, hello.
Oh, sorry, I gotta kill you.
Oh, jeez. I gotta shoot you full of drugs and lock you in my basement.
I wouldn't kill you. Normally, I just take you to Minnesota, but it's too cold. So, bye.
Bye. I gotta go get the cronuts for the ladies at work tomorrow.
You goddamn cronuts. We cut to Kevin. The errand that he had to run is taking Natalie to watch his son's soccer game, which is a little inappropriate. A little early to be meeting the kids there, mm-hmm. Kevin. But I'm not going to judge you, buddy. And Natalie gives him a sweet sweeper tip. Hey, when he's weak on his right, so if you just kill him. Turn right. And it actually works. Kid gets a goal.
Yeah,
she's got some sweet soccer skills.
Base scores, yeah.
From her time as a Yellow Jacket.
Never worked for her, but it did for him.
And then she gets creepy noise vertigo and has to step out mm-hmm. and leaves for the rest of the game. Yeah, more of that sound design.
Which I was kind of like, is she overwhelmed by the nostalgia of the soccer field? Is she like what?
That's a great guess, but that's just, that's as far as I got.
Yeah, I was kind of struggling to identify what the reason to step away was.
Did you catch any other clues to the impetus?
I thought that's what it was. I was kind of thinking like kind of a weird thing to bring someone from a famous soccer team that had a very tragic end to a soccer game. I'm sure that's the last place they want.
What could happen?
What possibly could happen? Hey. Not the letters PTSD.
Maybe we should fly this plane I got next. I thought it'd be a cute date for us.
And then we'll go camping. What are your thoughts on log cabins?
Shit. Back in 1996.
What'd you call Misty?
Just randomly.
Have her join.
What's she up to?
Thaisa is dressing in the attic, and she notices a wire missing from a bra and takes off running. Where the fuck is Shauna? Lottie confronts her meekly and is brushed aside. I can't deal with crazy right now.
Hey, were you eating dirt outside?
Yeah. And Thaisa is like, fuck no.
I can't deal with crazy right now.
Where's Shauna?
Lottie's like, oh, okay.
Weird question.
just want to, we'll put a pin in this if you want.
Follow
you
up.
You said, hey, Ty, can you smile for me real quick? I just want to see if there's some, dirt in your teeth.
Part of her's like, I'm hungry. What have you discovered?
Yeah.
Is it good? Is it worth it? I'm a little concerned.
Right.
I'm dirt curious.
Is it? It's Alice in Chains' best album. That sounds a joke for the other eight people. It's a good album. Lottie sees Laura Lee sleeping. Sweeping. I wrote the wrong word.
Sweeping.
I fucking went with it for a second. I was like, that doesn't make any sense. She's sweeping the cabin, but she scares Laura Lee, and she utters cheese and rice, which is what we all say when we're surprised.
Cheese and rice.
And mm-hmm. She asks Laura about visions, and Laura responds that, those come from the Lord. The substance of things that are hoped for and the evidence of things unseen. She's been waiting her whole fucking life for this conversation.
Oh my God.
And she's like, you need to accept Jesus.
Finally.
I've been wanting to convert my soccer team for years.
This is my moment.
It's finally time. Praise him.
And Lottie is open to this because she's felt so alienated and so alone. And Laura's just the right type to really buy into this and give her like a wholesome reason that she's experiencing the things that she's experiencing. Mm. And unlike her father, who just shut her down and said that she had a mental illness that she needed to be treated for, she's like, no, you're special. This is a gift from God. Mm-hmm. And so Lottie's, of course, able to receive that instantly.
Yeah, I kind of feels bad for Lottie because it's...
She's
going from one awful situation of someone denying what's really happening to her, going to another situation where someone is kind of using what's happening to her.
Well, except that there's no maliciousness. Like, Laura Lee believes what she's saying.
Oh, right? Sure.
Yeah.
Still a cult-like behavior.
Sure. It's true.
Preying on somebody's, weakness and moment of weakness. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, hey, I know you're scared and... things are happening to you that you're not aware of, but join my special club.
It's
really cool. Mm-hmm.
We have tuna quiche.
We swim with our clothes on.
Mm-hmm.
We read a book and we throw it at people sometimes.
Lottie's like, I already do all that stuff. This is perfect.
Yeah, but now you're going to do it with a special friend who will be with you always. His name, Jesus.
And Laura Lee.
And that's just a benefit.
Yeah, I'm also here. So she decides that she's going to baptize her. But the scene ends with Lottie asking, how do I accept Jesus? And then the next scene is we cut to Shauna. I hate this joke that I wrote in my notes.
Oh no. Do you do it? Do you bear down and do it, or you just skip over it?
Shauna is at Plant Parenthood because she's in the woods.
And?
Yes. I missed that one.
Yeah. That was a good one.
So
that was a good one.
Shauna is, and I don't mean to make light of it because this was actually like a stomach churning scene for mm-hmm. me.
Yeah.
But Shauna's laying there. She is using a lighter to, what's the word?
Sterilize.
Sterilize the, not a coat hanger, but a wall, a brawl wire.
Yep.
And Thaisa does finally find her. Like at this, in this scene, it all happens very fast. The cuts. Thaisa is running around frantically looking for Shauna while Shauna prepares this, abortion by herself. And then also Laura Lee baptizing Lottie. Mm-hmm. And then Thaisa shows up and I broke down, I'm a crier. I broke down crying when Thaisa knelt and I thought, you think, oh, she's going to stop her. She's going to yell at her. She's just like, hey, please let me help you. You don't have to do this by yourself, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I'm going to cry again. Like, it's just so supportive. And like, again, I'm not a woman, obvi.
Yeah.
I have no idea what this must be like. I can only imagine, but like the solidarity there, and especially with what's going on in our world currently, at least in our country.
Yeah.
It was
a very powerful moment. And similar to you, I also broke down and cried. I know a couple of people that have had to go through that, not do the whole wire scenario, but get an abortion. And it is a very emotional thing to do and to be able to, and to have to do it in these circumstances under these, there's just so many layers that are in this particular scene that are really hard to watch. And just, I don't know. It's very touching. It's very sad. It's traumatic to watch. It was just very emotional to watch.
Yeah. Like everything you said it best. Like I can't imagine, but when she starts inserting and stuff, I'm like, ah, it's a lot.
Yeah.
No bueno. No,
yeah.
No bueno. And the sound design too, like, they've got this eerie, almost like horror soundtrack breathing going on while it's penetrating is the best word I can use. I'm sorry, but it sounds like Shauna huffing, but it's not. It's like creepy sound design. I don't know if you guys heard it. It was like, but all of it was coalescing into me being very uncomfortable.
It's like you're building up that anticipation and, mm-hmm. As it's, being penetrated in, it's just, mm-hmm. I'm sure the nerves of Shauna.
But then juxtaposed with the baptism too.
I took it as like, it's a failed abortion, right? Because they don't go through with it. And it's a failed baptism because whatever Laura Lee sees, or not Laura Lee, I'm sorry. Whatever Lottie is seeing is not the success.
Not a benevolent and loving God.
Because she's like, I saw light and fire. And she's like, oh, that's God.
That's Jesus.
But what we see, what Lottie does see, and that's not at all what I'm sure Laura Lee is thinking.
Right. Yeah.
The Holy Spirit.
Like a nuclear explosion happening behind her head and she gets silhouetted and it's weird and creepy. And before that, she kind of sees herself in like some sort of underground complex filled with water and candles that are lit. And there's one candle specifically that's like lighting a huge flame. That was when I was like, this is so Lost. It's ridiculous.
And there's a deer down there too.
Oh yeah. The deer is also down there.
Oh, is that what Lost is like? Just all over the place visually.
Oh, there's a lot of random, like, oh, we're in an underground bunker now. Where are we?
Yeah.
What is in that hatch?
I took it as like, she's walking to this altar and lighting this sacred candle
to Jesus,
like that. Yeah,
but that was a great sequence, like with her floating with her nightgown in the water and shit, mm-hmm. like just the way that the water moved her garments. Mm-hmm. I was there for all of that, especially when I'm still like wiping the tears away from the Shauna scene. Mm-hmm. Stellar. Chef's kiss. Back in 2021, after the soccer game, Mace went for pizza. Kevin's a very absent father. I don't really know where my kid is. All I know is you're wearing fishnets. What's up?
What's up?
I made you a quiche. But Kevin holds her hand in this scene. She's like, oh, I guess you didn't want your kid around the crazy lady. And he's like, I like that kind of crazy.
I'm okay with that.
I'm not going to lie to you. You ever heard Buck Cherry, Natalie? I have. Buck Cherry. I listen to that shit every day.
Every day. Every day.
You guys know what I'm talking about?
Isn't Buck Cherry a band?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ow! You're crazy, bitch, but you so good, I'm on top of it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I think that's the only song I know about
that. It's the only one.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the only one they ever made.
Back in 1996, there's more fooling around on the plane. This time it looks like third base. I'm not sure. Natalie's giggling again. By the way, not a good feeling, you know, if you're Travis in that moment and you think you're getting there and then she just goes, tee-hee-hee.
Starts laughing at
you. That's very emasculating. Poor Travis. But she sees the condom drop out of his pocket and like he's kind of embarrassed, but she's like, oh, you trying to use a condom? Was for condom stuff?
Yeah.
He's like, nah.
How presumptuous of you, sir.
Unless you're down kind of vibe. And then Travis ruins it all by immediately asking for her body count. You know, how many men you've been with? How many dudes
you've been with? Off.
And she said, what if it was Jason Russo and fucking the whole team? Nobody cared about
volleyball team.
That's right. I couldn't remember which sport. Thank you for saving me.
Yep.
And he says perfectly, he's a dude, which doesn't apply here, right? Double standard.
Eye roll.
Flex is not doing his best work here right now.
And Natalie goes off. Like, look, vaginas have monologues now. You need to catch up with the times.
Preach.
Let people fuck.
Find out he's a virgin. He's insecure. He doesn't know what's going on. And he's vulnerable about that.
Oh, this guy who's famously not good with women?
That's why I was trying to suck my own dick.
Weird.
Weird. It's almost like all of them are that way. You know. And then she said, look, I banged Levi Hauser and an older guy at a show. And so then they start to get busy. But then there's a cock blocking deer that shows up as soon as they start to get down.
So when they see the deer, when I saw it, I thought it was like, I knew it was a deer because it just had that fur.
Sure.
But to me, it looked like it was being dragged and not walking. So
interesting.
My thought was like they were freaked out because there's this bigger thing dragging this dead deer.
It might be true, but they didn't see it that way, nor did I.
And we don't see them kill the deer. So when they show up and later on, you know, they open up the deer and it's full of maggots. I was wondering like, wait, did they just like pick up a dead deer and just like, hey, we got food?
No, I think it's a completely supernatural thing. Like how the land has taken the berries that it's rotting the living creatures as well. Mm-hmm. Cause he says, grab the gun. And so I think we're to assume they shot it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that shot confused me. Cause again, it looked like it was being dragged. So I thought they were going to shoot whatever was bigger.
You know, it would be funny if it was totally just a lifeless prop and you saw the crew pulling it and her and I were duped and you were not.
Actually just a man in a costume.
I'm a deer.
Carl, pull me.
I'm a deer.
I'm a deer.
Look at me.
Oh, deer.
Yeah. So back in 2021, Misty is watching Natalie bang Kevin, I think, while she sets a trap for Jessica Roberts. That's good television. and Shauna's reading texts from Adam.
It's HBO.
That's right. It's showtime. Shauna's reading texts from Adam. She's ignoring all of them, but he's trying to sext her. Guess what I'm wearing? Picture of all of his clothes on the floor. Presumably nothing. And then Jeff comes in and she's feeling.
Oh, that's what that meant. I honestly, when I read that, I'm like, I don't get it.
I love Steve so much.
Is he asking her, like, what should I wear?
Which of these outfits should I wear is the way Steve took it. He's sweet.
To some women, that's hot.
Makes more sense. I'm glad you said that.
No, he's just sitting there all Coach Scotted up off camera waiting for a response. So Jeff, and then right as she's kind of feeling guilty, she's not answering the text. She wants to, but she also, you know, she's had a really good day with Jeff, right? Jeff comes in and says he's going to the store. And she takes that to mean I'm going to bang my side piece. And she said, oh, would you want me to come with you to help to try to confirm that? And he's like, no, absolutely not. It's too boring. And then she's like, oh, okay. And then she sends a naughty text to Adam immediately. And it's like, she's into dominatrixing, I guess. She's like, fucking get naked, lay on the ground and don't move until I get there. If I show up at all, damn it. And if I do come, I'm going to stop.
No, but it's just to completely throw out the intimate realism they had earlier that day about their relationship.
Yep. Yep. So. And it's a power move with her and Adam. She's into that.
Yeah. Yep. She's only getting with Adam to get back at Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, wait. We missed over Misty calling the
reporter,
the Jessica. Reporter to meet up with her.
That's true. I just said set a trap, but yeah, I wasn't clear. Yeah, she's like mixing all the pills and medicines that she got together into some kind of concoction. And then she calls Jessica and says, hey, you're going about it all wrong. Meet me here in the, and she's like, yeah, in the hospital green Fiat. I know about it. Mm-hmm. And Misty's like, I bet you do. We cut to Misty waiting in the Fiat, listening to, I think, Phantom of the Opera.
It is the overture of Phantom of the Opera.
Oh, very pleased. Dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun. I love Phantom of the Opera. It's my favorite. And it fit the, well, and Misty, you know, said she enjoyed show tunes. And so, yeah.
Do you like the Emmy Rossum one? Like the movie?
Actually, no. I enjoy the, I think it was 2012 or 2016 version where it was live. It was filmed live at Royal Albert Hall for the 25th anniversary.
I would like to check that out.
It was very good.
It sounds like straight gas. Straight
so gas. So good. Sierra Bogus is the lead for Christine. And then there's another famous person that did Phantom. Mm.
But it's great because we know Misty loves like show tunes and podcasts and stuff. So she's actually sitting there jamming to it. But then it frames the scene so well for when the reporter gets in the car or the private investigator we know her to be. She immediately injects her. And then ties her to a bed in the basement and says, good night. Don't let being a terrible fucking person keep you up all night and just or whatever she says.
What's the one movie with what's her name?
Misery. Kathy Bates.
Yeah. That's honestly like the person that I compare Misty to quite frequently in my mind.
Kathy Bates, the person.
Yes. Something wrong with your medulla oblongata. Different Kathy Bates. Great scene. Back in 1996, Natalie and Travis bring back the deer, the bloody quote unquote antlers one. It's the
one she's been seeing in her dreams,
the rutting antlers one. Mm-hmm. That deer was ready to get down. Damn it. He was baking a quiche until they cut it. Shauna cuts it open. There's maggots inside the deer. And then Lottie says, I'm not crazy. And Laura Lee's like, I told you, Jesus loves you. Because she had seen that deer with the frayed antlers. Yeah, you got the shinning. And Thaisa loses it on Stang. She's like, this is bullshit. I'm not waiting to be rescued anymore. I'm going south. Who's coming with me, man? And then in 2021, Natalie gets the text from the blackmailer. Adult Thaisa is outside in the tree, I think, eating some crazy shit. I think there's blood on her hand. Mm-hmm. And then her phone wakes her from the trance. And she's like, checks the phone and sees the text from Natalie. It's game time.
When the bloody hand made me think like, wait, did she kill Biscuit? Where's Biscuit?
That's a good question.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm, she killed something, didn't she, Steve?
She did kill something. Yep.
She's the bad one. She's the lady in the tree.
She's been night digging. It's never a good thing. Never a good thing when you're night digging.
I know. It's so hard. Like, imagine how much she spends on landscaping in the city. She's probably brought like 6 inches a yard, probably.
And on her nails, you know? True. Gotta look good.
True.
Politician.
Yeah. I'm getting my first mani in a couple weeks. I'm very excited.
Ooh. Excited?
Going with a mani, not a petty?
Maybe a petty as well. I'm not sure.
Are you going to get some color or no?
I may. While you're in there. I don't know what you do. Excuse me, sir.
While you're in there.
Me and my guy friend, he actually is the one who wanted to get some petties. Or no, petties are your feet.
Yes.
Yeah, he frequently gets pedicures, and I convinced him to paint his toes black, and it was awesome.
Dang.
Nice.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm ready, but I'll, whatever they recommend.
You can do it.
Whatever they recommend, I'll do. They're the experts on the digits.
Make it a seasonal color. Make it like a pastel, purple.
Ooh, like a Easter type stuff?
Yeah.
I hate Easter colors.
Oh, never mind.
But you're right. I got to fit in.
Tis the season.
Mm-hmm. Now it's time for our favorite moments of the episode. Steve, you start us off this time. Your number three favorite moment of the episode.
Well, I can best sum up my number three favorite moment by just saying, chicken baby, dreams come true. It's the chicken baby birth scene. Just because that was so goddamn weird. It featured a puppet. Y'all know how much I love puppets and its little wings were fluttering about. Mm-hmm. And then they ate it. It was so strange.
When she pulls off the leg, I was like, yes.
But if I'm being 100% honest,
keep it 100.
Guys, I'm going to keep it 100. If I'm being honest, when she bit into that thing, I was hungry. I really wanted to go get a rotisserie chicken. And sing chicken babies and eat that thing.
Honestly, maybe I'll stop at the grocery store after this.
You can get those. I'm hungry like currently. Bucks.
I'm with Madison on that.
Yeah, shit.
Let's we got last of us to do.
Yeah.
Let's do.
Yeah.
Madison.
My number three is very beginning of the episode, young Lottie stopping her parents from crashing because she has a vision.
Nice pull.
Or she just screams. She's just screaming.
Yeah, she was too young to actually give them good info. Well, you got to think at that time, she's like six and she just sees the death and destruction that she thinks is real.
Very well acted. It was very well acted. And then I thought it was very well filmed as well. Just like the anticipation and the building up of her realizing what was happening. Yeah.
My number three is when Lottie wakes and before she finds Thaisa eating the dirt and stuff, that whole sequence where she sees Thaisa doing that. But like having her head framed by the antlers briefly, and we've seen like the antler lord of what happens in the future, the near future of the wilderness lord. Gang, you know? Yeah, the antler lord. All of that, I just thought, this is like, I'm so fucking in. Like, is this evidence that Lottie's the antler queen? Or, you know, all of it in general, like, this is a fucking good show. Mm-hmm. More evidence that I would probably love Lost. And Steve, you're number two.
My number two is Misty Be Crazy. Just the pairing of the Phantom of the Opera overture with her sitting in her car and then just casually drugging Jessica and then tying. It's so sinister. And Misty continues to be just this force of ne'er-do-well, but I can't quite pin down what her motives are at any point. Like, she's up to no good, but she's seemingly helping everyone else or wanting to. And that's why she's so captivating as a character. And, you know, I'll always pop for any Phantom of the Opera stuff because that is a great play.
Yes.
As real good.
Yeah, real good.
As real good.
Real good. Yeah.
Madison, you're number two.
That one almost made my list. I really did enjoy that scene. But my number two was Jeff standing up for Shauna in front of Jackie's parents. It makes me so mad because I don't want to like him at all, but I just was like, that warmed my heart so much. And he wasn't scared to stand up in front of these people. And it was just great.
Yeah.
And I know I'm sure it made Shauna feel good, but also guilty as fuck.
Right. Yeah, all of that. Yeah, that's my number two as well. Jeff defending Shauna for everything that you said. I think it's such a great subversion of what we've come to expect about that character. And we get to be put in Shauna's shoes because we kind of in that moment feel guilty for hating him as much as we do. Just a brilliant writing twist. Very cool. Very cool. Steve.
That's my number one.
All right.
The Jeff standing up for Shauna for every reason that you guys said. It's just and everything you guys just said, but also it's fun to see Jackie's mom, who's been kind of a
get her comeuppance,
kind of a dud, getting her comeuppance in a way. And that, I love it when people that are annoying get their comeuppance. You remember a couple weeks ago, I was like, ha, Nat's dad.
With the slip on the gun. Yeah. Right.
He died. Mm-hmm. No, but that's my number one.
Obviously, famously, Dobby, all that stuff. Madison.
My number one was the abortion scene. I think it's very hard to write those scenes. I think it's very hard to act those scenes. And just there were so many layers for both of those characters to be in that moment. And I think it's been one of the harder scenes to watch in the show, but I think it's been one of the more important scenes in the show. Because you don't see a lot of these types of scenarios on television. And so I think it was a very important scene, which is why it's my number one.
I agree. That's also my number one.
Nice.
Again, with like the climate of everything we're going through with the overturning of Roe v. Wade, all that stuff combined with rewatching the show and how much I care about these characters. And specifically the fact that Thaisa shows up and she's so supportive and doesn't try to dissuade her or judge her or shame her, but merely like, I'm here. You don't have to be alone for this.
Cause it's like, what would be the, like if it wasn't Ty, what if it was Laura Lee? Like how would that interaction be, you know?
Yes.
And I think they could have, you know, that could be a different conversation, a different dialogue there.
Yeah, absolutely. So there we go. Those are the moments. Let's quickly run through our Easter eggs. We're a little running late on Last of Us coverage here, but I only found four, I think. Steve.
I have about a million. You guys exhaust yours
for
first.
For real?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
I paused on Jackie's.
You didn't pause
journal.
The journal, did you? I did. Knew you'd do that.
I have a subtle nod to Jackie's notebook, but I'll let you
saw Scream in Jackie's notebook.
Mine for Jackie's notebook was MASH. That was mine.
I also have an Ace Ventura call out. Mm-hmm. Apparently
she loved his impression.
Jeff used to do those impressions. Yeah.
I will be bummed if we don't see those.
Next episode, Jeff walks in.
What else you got, Maddie?
At the very end, they said, that looks like a Freddy Krueger and Bambi had a baby.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Double whammy.
Double whammy.
Way different decades. Mm-hmm. The vagina monologues reference. I'm going to go there. Mm-hmm. That's a thing. Absolutely. Did anybody look up Alana Ferrante or know who that is? What kind of author that is?
I wasn't aware. No, I didn't.
He's like, it reminds me of you girls. And I thought it would be a cool Easter egg, but I forgot to Google it.
Yes.
You got anything else, Madison?
Nat always coming in with her t-shirt. She's wearing a Saint Laurent t-shirt.
Nice.
Hell yeah. You can always rely on Nat.
Yep.
For that.
She's the coolest. Nat for that. Mm-hmm. Tit for tat. Mm-hmm. What up?
What up?
Ah, baseball bat. Steve.
Okay, so before we get to the journal, Lottie's parents are talking about the oil crisis that I think was happening during the Carter administration. Lottie is also holding a My Little Pony. That's her little toy that she's playing with. It's a green and purple My Little Pony. But let's get into Jackie's diary, you guys. First page are Jackie's top 10 tunes. Do you want to hear what her top 10 tunes are? Starting with number one is Wannabe by Spice Girls. Killing Me Softly by
Fugees.
The Fugees.
Shut up.
I don't know who sings that one, to be honest with you. Always Be My Baby by Mariah Carey. Ironic by Alanis Morissette. Doing It, LL Cool J. 1979 by the Smashing Pumpkins. Great song.
Great song.
Wonderwall, of course. Because You Loved Me by Celine Dion is both 7 and 8. She has it written down twice. Give Me One Reason by Tracy Chapman and Who Do You Love by Deborah Cox.
Give me one reason to stay here. That's a good song.
On the next page, Jackie's top movies.
Turn right back around.
Her top movies, starting with number one, we have Fear, The Birdcage.
Fear with Mark Wahlberg and Reese Witherspoon?
I assume.
Yeah.
Oh. The Birdcage. Number three, interesting choice, The Cable Guy. She loves Ace Ventura, mm-hmm. but that's an interesting Ace Ventura one to put in number three.
Right.
Romeo plus Juliet, the Leonardo DiCaprio one. Jumanji, Scream, Striptease, Matilda, The English Patient, and The Craft.
Honestly, amazing taste. Chef's kiss, top 10 for the 90s.
To the right of her top 10 list, she has a must-see list. Movies she wants to see but hath not seen them yet. Movies I assume she never got to see, and I feel bad because those movies are Primal Fear, Kingpin, Spy Hard, Spy Hard, Happy Gilmore, and Black Sheep.
Well, those are some good movies in there, but I think she saw the good ones already.
Yeah, yeah. Below that, they have like her celebrity crushes, but you can't quite make them out except for her number one, which is, of course, Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
How could you go anywhere else?
The peak of the JTT time. Uh-huh. And then on the next page, she has like movie characters that she would be. Rose Dawson from Titanic, Cher Horowitz from Clueless, Veda from My Girl, Mia Wallace from Pulp Fiction, and Sidney Prescott from Scream. And then also...
Freddie Mercury from Queen.
From Queen. Yes. And then my last Easter egg is Shauna's wearing an Asbury Park shirt in there.
Oh.
You like Jeff? That scene.
Great pulls,
gotcha.
Man.
Good.
That was so worth pausing that. I wanted to, but I was kind of running late and was like, Steve, I honestly at the time, I swear to God, thought Steve will do it.
I'm going to be honest with you. It's kind of why I was like, hey, can you guys come over at 5:30 instead of 5?
I'm so glad you texted that because I was running late.
Frantic too.
Yeah, I was frantically typing. Yeah.
It was a long day. But finally, let's see if we can get a three-way tie again. I doubt it.
Mm.
Our number one favorite performance of the episode to wrap everything up here. Madison, start us off.
Pressure's on. My favorite performance was Sophie Nalisse, who plays young Shauna. Again, all of the layers from the abortion scene, it's just so, you can just see it in her face, the fear, the sadness, the guilt, it reads, it's an amazing performance and it reads very as such, you know, as anyone going through that situation, I think she did a really good job at having all of these different pools and putting it into one emotion. So.
Mine is Sophie Nalisse as well. Steve?
Mine's Melanie Lynskey.
Nice. I'm always happy with a Lynskey streaming.
I chose her because I think she's doing some really subtle work, especially when, mm-hmm. Not only that scene with her like reminiscing about Jackie and her interactions with Jeff, but then also in the scene when it's the three of them kind of talking and she's sitting down, but she's clearly in charge of these women, but they're not really aware of it. It's like really, it's a really subtle performance that she's putting on there. And I was really impressed by it.
I almost gave it to her last week or on episode 5 when she confronted Callie and stuff. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I always almost give the Streamy Award to Melanie Lynskey.
But to be fair, it's getting hard. It's getting hard to pick a favorite performance.
Because I've wanted to pick young Thaisa a couple of times as well. I think she's great. Yeah. And hey, we all kind of tied still though. Like we all picked Shauna.
We did.
Right?
We did. Yep.
So there's that.
I'm counting it. I see this as an absolute win. Yeah,
next week, we'll be breaking down episodes 7 and 8 and The Last of Us finale. So tune in for those. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. That's all the time we have for right now. My name is Chris.
My name is Madison.
And I'm Steve.
And this is Streaming Things. Happy streaming.
Sniper Tone here, and I've been instructed by the boys via radio to read you the brand new patrons in the month of March. These are people who have an extra set of mirth in their hearts, and they are truly the last line of defense between Streaming Things and a total economic collapse. So in the try before deny section, I want to thank Luke and Sarah, Conrad and Trey Barrera. In the Marty B VIP section, we're thanking Tamara. Oh, old Tony's going to mispronounce this one, that's for sure. Jir Latanowitz. Oh, I mispronounced that just like I misfire my rifle. Brianna Bernard, we thank you. Elizabeth Palmer, Josh Stitch, and John Ricker. Oh, thank you all so much. In the chocolate pudding producer sections, we have Lair Gillis, Maha Axholt, I probably missed that one too. Thank you to Jordan C., Kelly Shartner, Natalie Cleland, Sunny. Oh, it has not been sunny here in quite some time. Thank you to Wayne Yopst. Oh, I think the world has passed Tony by. Tony does not know what that word is. Yopst. Thank you to Shotzi, Brock Burick, Alicia Takahashi, Gabe, Quentin Vassa, Teresa Schwimmer, and Rob Westendorf. And last but not least, we have our friends Don't Lie to thank. Those friends are Ta Jala and Melissa Worcester. You know what old Tone used to shoot a Worcester back in his day? Or was it a Winchester? I don't know. I'm Sniper Tone. My mind is frail. I got to get back to protecting Kansas City. What? It's already on fire. Oh, Tony, you done it again.
The biggest names in tennis are coming to Paris for the most anticipated Roland Garros in years. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. Experience 3 weeks of unparalleled tournament access as the world's top players in tennis face off against each other. Will the veteran champions continue their dominance, or will a fresh face emerge to challenge their legacy on the clay courts? Daily live coverage of this epic showdown begins Monday, May 20th. Don't miss a matchup. Stream it now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.